The following program does not necessarily reflect the opinions and viewpoints of the staff and management of this station.
Good morning. This is Carol Gordon of Heartmenders International, broadcasting from News Radio 10,000, KTOK. My husband Lewis and I founded Heartmenders International, where hearts and lives are changed. We are a generational ministry called to proclaim the message of healing of hearts, marriages, and families. The crying challenge to keep families whole and healthy today is so great that it calls for a strong, proactive, biblical approach to life. Our Heavenly Father designed marriage and family before the fall, and He knows how to build healthy family relationships now. We have available help from heaven. Lewis and I were married for 46 years. We had almost 22 years in our honeymoon of healing before he moved to heaven in 2002. The Lord continually urged our growth and refining by His Word. We encountered many of the same issues your family may be going through in the unfolding life of our family. We have had marriages that ended in divorce, financial pressures, prison terms, health problems, misunderstandings, reconciliations, and many other challenges. The Lord faithfully brought us through them. We learned to lean on Him, and He healed, strengthened, and is maturing us. Early on, He told us to give to others what He taught us. In 19 years of ministry together, Lewis and I saw hundreds of families, thousands of individuals, go up to a new level. With others in my family, we are now in our 18th year of weekly meetings on Tuesday evenings at 7 at Faith Fellowship Church, 900 North May Avenue, where we share and pray for needs. Don't struggle alone. You can call in for prayer at our office Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4 at 405-495-HOPE. That's 495-4673. So again, I'm Carol Gordon, and today, again, I have as my guest Greg Gunn. Greg is a local businessman. He has his own financial services company, but he also, 11 years ago, started what he calls Family Vision Weekend. And he teaches families, couples, how to find their mission statement and set goals for their family and train their children to really be a godly family. So share some more about what you teach us in that about brothers and sisters or some of the other principles that you've discovered.
Well, the sibling relationship is a relationship that you're going to be in, and you're going to be a sibling longer than you're going to be any other family relationship. I'm going to be a brother to my sister and to my younger brothers longer than I'm going to be a husband, longer than I'm going to be a grandson, longer than I'm going to be a son. The potential is that I'm going to be a brother and a sister relationship longer than any other relationship. And I feel like that the enemy knows the power of and the potential of really godly sibling relationships and what those can accomplish. And so he has created a huge disconnect in our culture among siblings. And as I began to study this and read the Word and see the truth there is that sibling conflict has been probably 25% of the Bible is written about sibling conflict.
Yes.
Starting with Cain and Abel.
Oh, yes.
I remember once when Bethany was, our oldest daughter Hannah was choking Bethany one night in the bedroom, you know, and I came in and broke the fight up and I set them down on the bed and I said, guys, we're not going to allow this to happen in our family. It is absolutely unacceptable for you to be unkind to one another because I don't want to have happen to you what happened to me and my siblings. I was the oldest of three boys. I had an older sister who was just 10 months and 2 weeks older than myself. A lot of conflict in our family, yet we went to church every time the doors were open. We prayed at every meal. My parents tucked us in every night, and we prayed and sang songs this little light of mine and so on.
What you would consider consider a committed Christian family?
Absolutely. From every perspective, you were looking on the outside, looking in, you would say, that's a man, that's as Christian a family as you can have. You know, we are, but yet there was this underlying sibling conflict that was just tearing us up. My little brothers, as a firstborn, all firstborns have some common traits. For instance, 19 out of the first 20 astronauts were firstborn. They have a great capacity for loyalty, a great capacity for receiving instruction, and so on. A secondborn, though, has an absolutely insatiable desire to be accepted by the firstborn. They literally have a hero worship of the firstborn. Now, that's not something that my parents trained my little brother to. He didn't learn it from somebody in the neighborhood. It was an inborn. God created this truth that a firstborn doesn't need that acceptance. It's just not a part of their personality need for the most part. But the secondborn has this insatiable need, almost borders on an obsession, to be accepted by the firstborn. But because I wouldn't accept my little brother, Philip, I mean, he wanted to be with me. He wanted to go where I went. He wanted to play the game I played. He wanted to wear what I wore. It bothered me, and I didn't want him to be around me, and I made his life miserable. If I were to have treated a dog the way I treated my little brother, I could be, you know, put in jail for animal cruelty. So how horrible. Because I wouldn't accept him, I drove him out of our family to his friends to get accepted. But to keep from getting rejected by his friends at school or his friends in the neighborhood, he had to kind of stand back and watch that group to determine what did they like, what did they hate, what did they like to do, what did they not like to do, and so on. Who did they like? Who did they not like? You know, and then he thought, well, to get accepted by them, I can't afford to get rejected again. I got rejected from the group I wanted to be in, which was my brother's team. So to keep from getting rejected at school, I'm going to love what they love, but 10 times more. If they like drugs, I'm going to do drugs. If they love this particular music, I'm going to love it more than them, so that there's no way they could not accept me. So peer pressure is absolutely insurmountable for a boy or a girl who couldn't get on the team they really wanted to be on. So what ended up happening is our family went from being an interdependent family, where we were interdependent upon each other. We looked to inside the family to get our needs met. We started all looking outside the family to get our needs met. And it was because of the fact that my parents allowed us to be unkind to one another. Now, they didn't encourage it. In fact, they punished us for being unkind. They told, you know, I don't know how many times I heard, leave your brother alone, be nice to him, and so on. But unless you elevate unkindness in your family to absolutely unacceptable behavior, then we will continue to do it because the enemy is pushing it, wanting us to be unkind to one another. So we elevated unkindness. I set my siblings down and I started crying and I said, I'm not going to allow in this family to happen to the family I grew up in, to where we were so divided. We became totally peer dependent. There was no harmony. There was no love among siblings. And I'm not going to let that happen in this home. So I'm elevating unkindness to each other to absolutely unacceptable behavior. And then I'm going to punish you with the same amount of punishment I would give if you tried to burn the house down on the third try. That's the punishment for being unkind, okay? Now, they were all now scared, you know, what in the world would he do to me, if, you know? But someone asked me, Greg, so what is the punishment you would give for trying to burn the house down on the third try? And I said, well, it's not the punishment so much. It's the fact that we would stop everything in this family. We're not going to eat. We're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to sleep until we figure out what in the world is wrong with a child that would try to burn the house down on the third try, okay? That's just too horrible to conceive, you know? That's the kind of thing. We're not going to do anything until we get this fixed. There's nothing that will destroy your home faster than being unkind to one another. A fire, that damage is nothing compared to the damage that is done when we allow. So that rule is with between Rhonda and I as well, and we've given the children an ability to call us on it. I have to treat Rhonda as good as I do my best customer, as good as I treat my how many of us have dealt with customers or friends or a boss who's an idiot? Well, if I can treat that boss who's an idiot with some semblance of kindness, then I can treat my spouse with that same semblance of kindness.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's how I believe that is the greatest gift I could give anyone listening today, is that I would ask you to require that we treat each other better than our best friend, and we elevate that unkindness to absolutely unacceptable. In fact, burning the house down was so unacceptable when I was growing up that I didn't even attempt it, okay?
Yeah.
So that's what we want to do in our family.
Right.
We want to create something where it's absolutely so unacceptable, we're not even going to attempt it. And so all throughout Scripture, Cain and Abel, Cain asked God, am I my brother's keeper? The truth is, we are our brother's keeper. And I don't know how many times as a youth I would step over the broken, bleeding, maimed bodies of my siblings, verbally maimed and verbally broken, okay, and sometimes physically bleeding, but to go off to my youth group to worship the Lord. And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, it says, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, then you're a liar.
Yes.
How can you love God whom you cannot see, and you're not loving your brother whom you can see? So this is my command to you, that you are to love one another. And so what that said is, when I went off to youth group to worship the Lord, I was a liar because I was not loving my siblings. And God has changed our heart, and now we have a harmony in our home that it just borders on awesome, okay?
That's wonderful.
Now, we still have conflict, and one of our daughters will wear the other daughter's clothes and tear a hole in it, and there's conflict, okay? But we can have conflict. I have conflict in business all the time, but we don't resort to unkindness and verbally destroying each other.
Right.
There is a way to have conflict without unkindness,
right,
you know.
Because there always will be differences of viewpoint and things
yes,
like that. But
absolutely.
There are ways to work that through if you
absolutely.
Have the heart to do it.
Amen. And so we say, no, look, you're each other's best friend.
Yes.
So treat each other like that.
Praise the Lord. We're going to commercial break now. This is Carol Gordon and Greg Gunn. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to HeartMenders International, broadcasting on News Radio 1000 KTOK on your dial. Welcome back to HeartMenders International, coming to you on 1000 KTOK, your news radio station. I'm Carol Gordon, and my guest today is Greg Gunn. And we're having a wonderful time talking about family interactions, particularly among siblings, which is something that he put me on to several months back, and I've just been greatly blessed. Had some good interactions with my sibling. I was the oldest who made his life miserable,
right.
As you were telling earlier.
Amen.
But we're not close together. We're about 8 years apart.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, but there's still things that I'm trying to sow into his life. And he doesn't have a family. He's a loner.
Wow.
And because of wounding in our family, not some from me, but more from other people.
Right.
But God is still working.
Amen.
And it's never too late.
That's right.
Let's talk about something else that you shared about the training ground. What kind of training ground does a family being brought up in these principles provide for later in life?
You know, that's a great question. And I was thinking about the fact that what other relationship will our children ever be in where they have to share the same space. They share the same rooms, the same kitchen, the same area with another person who's not always kind, they're not always loving, and they're not always mature. The only other relationships our children will ever be in where they have to do that is marriage. So the sibling relationship is the best training ground and probably the most overlooked training ground for marriage. In fact, because of the way our culture has allowed us to treat each other as siblings, we are actually training up unmarriageable children.
Isn't that true?
It's so true.
It's so true.
The way I treated my sister, the way I treated my mother or my parents, the way I was allowed to do that, and yet I did have respect for my mother and so on, but there just wasn't this knowledge that I'm actually being trained on how to treat my spouse and how to treat a person that, and be patient with someone who's not always very kind or who's not loving or who's being immature at this point, you know. How do I learn to interact with them? Well, in marriage, we're going to be dealing with that same type of issue. You know, we've got this big lie that we've been told that we hurt the ones we love the most. What a terrible lie, you know. That's so sad. And yet, based upon the way we were allowed to treat each other as siblings, and it really has, the parents have such a huge impact. You know, Ron and I were really interested in family ministry and understanding how to raise up a godly family, and how is there some way we can have some influence on making sure that our children are more on fire for God than we are, you know? So we would go to those involved in ministry and say, hey, so tell me, what is it that we can do to stack the deck so heavily in our favor that our children will want to serve God in a more powerful way than us? And they would say, Greg, really, it's kind of luck of the draw. You just you can actually do it all right, and then you just got to cross your fingers and hope. And I thought, wait a minute. You mean you can actually do it all right, and then it's just luck? I said, you mean the coach doesn't have any bearing on the outcome of the game? They said, yeah, that's about right. I said, well, wait a minute. They pay Bob Stoops a couple of million a year. Now, they don't pay people that kind of money if they don't think they have some bearing on the outcome of the game, right? Exactly. And of course, we have a huge bearing on the outcome of the game. We're the ones that set the rules. We're the ones that write the playbook. We're the ones that set up the drills. And if we will do this on purpose, we can train up marriageable children. Children, I was trained in psychological warfare, torture tactics. I mean, that's what I was trained in as a sibling, thinking then that somehow I'm just going to, when I get married, it's all going to be different, that I'm not going to, when I'm sad or I'm tired or whatever, that I'm not going to revert back to the way I had treated my siblings. Well, of course, we end up doing that. And we see in divorces and in the domestic violence that we see today, I can't help but think that some of that is not because of the way we were allowed to treat each other as we grew
up. Yes, it gets blamed on the parents and how they treated one another. But if a parent is totally unaware of what they allow their children to do has this influence, they will allow it.
There you go.
They don't know that it's so critical. But that's what we're preaching.
Yes,
Let's get the word out that it is critical.
Absolutely.
That we train our children to treat each other well so that their lives can go well.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we allow all of these negative responses to proliferate, it's just going to cause their family to disintegrate, their children to disintegrate.
Yes.
And it just gets worse and worse. And we can see the enemy, he's been quite successful in that tactic for the last number of centuries.
Yeah.
It's gotten really in your face right now.
Right.
Because we see such brokenness in families and people in our culture.
Satan has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And if we look at Ishmael and Isaac, the conflict between those two brothers, who today, the Arabs and the Jews,
oh, yes,
the rivers of blood that have been shed between those two brothers.
Oh yes,
and their future generations. Even let's take Jacob and Esau. Esau, the oldest firstborn, even though they were twins, he had earned the firstborn right of being able to get a double portion of the inheritance. That was the firstborn's right in that culture. Well, Jacob cheated him, or kind of cheated him out of that firstborn right by selling, you know, Esau selling it for a bowl of porridge, you know. Well, if his brother said, look, you shouldn't sell your birthright for a bowl of porridge, I mean, it's worth more than that. And even if Esau couldn't see the value of it at the time, mm-hmm. his brother should have been his mentor. He should have been his advocate, not his enemy.
Right.
And then he literally steals his brother's blessing, and his mother helped. I'd like to slap her for helping yeah. him steal that, you know. But anyway, how sad that. And then
I've got my own reasons for why she was so bitter. But go ahead.
Anyway, very good.
Fit her.
Right. But here's Esau says, "I'm going to kill my brother Jacob." Now, Esau never killed his brother, but somehow that hatred was passed to the next generations. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works, but. Same way with Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael never killed Isaac. Isaac never killed Ishmael. But yet that hatred, that conflict somehow is passed generation after generation.
Yes.
So even the first group of people to attack Jacob's Jacob's descendants, the Israelites, were Esau's descendants, the Amalekites. When they came out of Egypt, they were the first group of people to attack them,
right.
Their own brothers. And then again, rivers of blood have been shed between Jacob and Esau and their descendants.
Right.
I found this out reading about Josephus, the Jewish historian. He said that Esau's descendant was King Herod, who ordered the murder of every child under the age of two, trying to kill Jacob's descendant, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then Herod's son, Herod Agrippa, who had a hand in the murder of Jesus Christ, was Esau's descendant.
Mm.
How sad. Those two siblings,
yeah.
that sibling. So if Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy, his greatest method throughout all of Scripture has been to get siblings to be in conflict. That has been one of the greatest killers of all time,
yes,
has been that conflict. So Satan owns this disconnect, and he's kept it shrouded and kept it undercover so that we as Christian families today are oblivious to this seething conflict that the enemy is allowing to take place in our homes,
yes.
right under our own roofs.
Yes.
And I believe he's wanting to heal that.
Amen. I know he is. Well, HeartMenders tries to help people with these issues, as your ministry teaches goal setting and says we teach how to get your heart healed and how to reverse this curse.
Amen.
In
Amen.
Many instances, in May we offered our teachings on children and brothers. This month of June we are teaching on our offering messages on parental issues. So this will open people's views to family life. They can call 405-495-HOPE and find out more about it. Greg, I want to thank you for being with me this morning on News Radio 1000 KTOK. Just been a joy to have you. This is Carol Gordon, and we hope this program is expanding your vision of the possibilities of healing in your life and relationships. HeartMenders International has a free meeting every Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock at Faith Fellowship Church, 900 North May Avenue in Oklahoma City. Child care is provided for children up to age 12. We have products and prayer support available at the meeting or by phone at 405-495-HOPE. That's 495-4673. You may visit our website at www.heartmenders.org. Thanks for joining us.